Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast. Hey, it's been a minute. What you guys been up to? I've been in my house. It's been obviously a long stretch of no basketball, but there have been maybe some tendrils of news here over the last week to 10 days that we thought we could chat about today. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Bucks podcast, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast, and on the other line is Matt Velasquez. What have you been up to, Matt Velasquez, since we last chatted?
Well, lots of hanging out at the house. Lots of going on bike rides with my wife and my kids.
Nice.
A lot of mask wearing and social distancing. Trivia nights.
Yeah, buddy.
Both attending and running my own.
That's amazing. Tell me everything.
Well, so the running my own?
Yes.
I've done it twice. There's a group of people that my wife's parents are friends with, and they like get together once a week for trivia, and they rotate who runs the trivia. We've been joining them, and so I said, hey, I can do it. So I came with the trivia night, and I think it was like 15 questions in the first round, and then like a intermediate round where I showed everybody like 10 airport codes and said, like, tell me which city these are.
Nice. Very good.
That was kind of fun. I figure that's a relevant knowledge base for me.
Yeah, I would not ask that question of you because I think you would just crush it.
Yeah, so I did that, and then I did like a final round that was, they all knew each other because like way back in the day, they all like did plays together, like kids plays, like that's how they all met, all their kids did plays together, and then all the parents would help out, so I knew they all did the Nutcracker, so I asked like a Nutcracker question at the end. So that was fun. But then I upped the ante a little bit. I hadn't talked to a bunch of my college, all of my college roommates in a little while. So I said, hey guys, like we haven't talked in a while. Let's get together. I'll run a trivia night. And they're like, okay. So I ended up doing like a 60 slide PowerPoint.
Oh yes.
that I shared via Zoom, and that way everybody could see and everybody could answer privately in Zoom or by texting me. And then that one was 5 rounds. That one was like pretty legit. I repurposed the airport codes question, though. That was useful. I also took a page from you, JR, trivia master that you are, and I did a round of who was older, but I actually like put them in head-to-head matchups, so everybody had a 50% chance of like getting it right, and I mixed in some relevant people from our experiences and you know kind of inside jokes and stuff. So but then all the questions in the first round were like directly related to like a person in the group's interest or experience.
So everybody kind of had their skill set there.
Well, so the question might be related to like an inside joke or a story about that person, but it doesn't mean that the person would know the answer.
Got it.
So all their significant others could play without knowing anything. Like they didn't have to be part of all the inside jokes. They just had to, I could tell the joke and have fun with it, but then ask a question about that category of thing. And then we had a lot of parties in college, as many people do. So I had a round where the theme of a question was the name of the party that we had. So
I love it.
So it was a lot. It was very involved, very fun. Probably the first PowerPoint I've made in like a decade. I thought it was pretty good. We've also been playing a bunch of like Jackbox games on Zoom. Well, they're super fun. There's a lot of them that you can buy, and then you just share your screen and everybody plays on their phones. There's no NBA related ones though, that they should probably fix that. That'd be fun.
For sure.
You know, no, I don't think there's any specifically like sports related ones. I feel like there's an opening in the market there. But yeah, you know, that's basically all that's been going on here. Writing some news stories, writing a couple buck stories, going on furlough, you know, just classic stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I have enjoyed running several trivia nights since this whole thing began. And of course, you and fellow Journal Sentinel reporter Ben Steele, part of a power team that took their best shot during one of the sports rounds. It's been
that's a nice way of saying we didn't win.
I wasn't going to put you on the spot. I wasn't going to sell you out. But no,
I think we finished like third or fourth or something like that. Like we could have had the second most points if we had wagered differently, but we couldn't have won. But we came very close.
Yeah, I have some ringer friends at sports trivia. They are just making it very difficult, keeping me on my toes, trying to find things that that are questions that are both reasonable to get but also difficult to actually get. I've got some tough ones for the next round of sports trivia that I'll be hosting, and I'm interested to see if they're too tough or if they're just right. Typically they're not tough enough because I have just a bunch of nerd friends who know everything. So that's just something I run into. But you mentioned the NBA. That's maybe why we're here right now to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, as little as we can. Of course, you know this by now, the NBA season's been suspended since, the second week of March, but there is some discussion that we might be, I don't know if nearing a return is probably too strong, but there's at least a suggested timeline in place. June 1st, supposedly, Adam Silver is going to hand out maybe a little bit more detailed approach to how the NBA is going to try and come back. The very popular item on the table right now would be returning at Walt Disney World in Orlando. Of course, I think we maybe briefly discussed this before. It's been out there before as a possibility, to the delight of the Lopez brothers, sort of a central hub for the NBA's return. They have a lot of courts. They have a lot of lodging there. They could easily control the environment health-wise and potentially get games started toward the end of July. Right now it sort of looks like maybe an abbreviated regular season schedule, getting to a certain threshold of games and then going into the playoffs, which of course would involve the Milwaukee Bucks. There's several stumbling blocks before we can get to that. Some health related, some schedule related, some I'm sure money related. But I guess, Matt, just in a general sense, I remain only cautiously optimistic that we're going to have basketball at all. I think there's still some things, especially the nature of the virus, that suggests to me that we can't say for certain that sports will be coming back in 2020. I'm still in that camp where I'm not positive we're going to see sports in 2020, but there are a lot of encouraging signs. And so are you more optimistic now that there will be basketball, but you know, that this 2020 season will come to completion of some sort? Or are you still a little bit dubious about that as well and need to see some things first before you can be confident that we will have basketball again?
You know, I think the last time we talked, I was very cautious about a lot of things because we just didn't know enough. I'm at a different point now. We're going to have basketball. It's going to happen. Like, I don't know about the rest of the sports. I haven't really paid attention because I don't care. But in terms of basketball, where I care very much, I think that I'm pretty certain and would be willing to say that the season will resume at some point in some fashion. The 2019-2020 season is not over. I think there are so many people who have been working and are continuing to work to figure out a way to make this happen. And there's also just so much money on the line that it's in the NBA's best interest to find a way to make this happen. And I believe that they're getting closer to finding that way. I think as states are opening up and kind of perception is maybe shifting a little bit and precautions are being taken, I think there is a way that the NBA can get all the teams that it wants to. Maybe not all of them, maybe just some of them. We'll talk more about that later, I guess. But get all the teams it wants to in a centralized location, have enough testing, and be able to play games. And they'll be able to say, hey, you know, if someone tests positive, then we'll remove that person. We'll test everyone around them. We'll just make sure we're doing consistent testing. And if that, you know, we'll get rid of that person, they'll come back. It, you know, if their team is still playing when they're healthy, and everyone else just keep moving on. It'll be like they sprained their ankle. It's kind of like the same idea. You know, if you get hurt or, you know, in the playoffs, like, you know, tough. Like, that's just how it goes. If you get coronavirus in the playoffs, tough. That's kind of how it goes. And that maybe is a simplistic way of saying it, but I think that's what they're going to try and do is treat it that way, take as many precautions as possible. And there are a lot of details to be ironed out. Like, will players have families there? You know, what about, you know, coaches who are older? What if players don't want to go, or teams don't want to go, or coaches or, you know, team personnel don't want to go? I think the predominant thing here is that, you know, as we've we probably all know, as was reported probably a week or so ago, you know, there was a call among some of the team's the league's best players, including Giannis Antetokounmpo, and all of them agreed they want to play. And so when the biggest players in the league want to play, and when the league itself wants to get going, they're going to find a way to make it happen, because I think that there's an opening there. I mean, we saw how many people watched The Last Dance, who watched, the golf this past weekend, who've watched NASCAR. Like, if you put anything on TV that's related to sports, it is going to draw eyeballs because people are starving for that kind of entertainment. And so I think the NBA is looking to fill that void, and they will find a way to do so sometime this summer.
Yeah. So, of course, the one caveat to your sprained ankle, comparison is that you can spread the sprained ankle to everyone in the room. So that's obviously
sure.
And I know you know that. Like, I know everyone knows that. It's just to me that seems like still something that they would have to be. It's just hard to be so sure that you can manage that situation. But of course, people want basketball to be back. I mean, fans want it back, players want it back, and it is refreshing to think that there could be still could be a championship. Because
and there are other leagues that are playing right now. Like, you know, people are watching Korean baseball. Before this year, have you thought about Korean baseball at all?
No, the KBO is having a moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and like the Bundesliga is back, and like people, I mean, I'm not into soccer, but it's like, I'll kind of, you know, check out like what's going on in the Bundesliga. Like, you know, I am like into the World Cup, but like soccer in general, like I just don't have time to follow it. Like, just like probably most other sports, because I'm so focused on the NBA, they're like, there's just not enough bandwidth. But you know, it's back, so it's like, I'll see what they're piping in crowd noise, and you really can't tell the difference if you watch like clips of a game. It seems the same because you know, in soccer you don't usually see the fans anyway.
Right.
You just hear them. So if you just pipe in some crowd noise or if you play some crowd noise on TV, there's no difference. And the NBA will be different because usually you see some fans, so you'll be seeing an empty gym. And the question is, you know, they have to decide how much they're going to allow people to hear, because it'd be super cool to hear everything that the players and refs are saying. I've been fortunate enough to be close enough to hear some of those types of things, and it's very fun. But I don't think players and fans and coaches want everyone to hear. Or players and coaches and referees, don't want everyone to hear exactly what they're saying at all times, because not all of it is for general public consumption.
Yes, the absolute pro would be hearing it. The con would be somebody's got to have the dump button ready in the studio there.
And yeah, like how much of a time difference would you need? Like a 30 second delay, a minute delay, like to make sure that you are getting everything. Like I have no idea. Someone who is paid more than me can figure that out. But, you know, that's if and when the season begins. But I think that because other sports leagues are doing it, and there's a model that, like, generally seems to work so far, like, the NBA isn't going to sit idly by and go, well, like, the Bundesliga can do it, but we can't figure it out.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And like you mentioned, there's some trickiness to the format that would be adopted, because you're talking about some teams are way out of the playoff hunt. So does it make sense for a team at the bottom of the standings to try to join everybody else, both for their own benefit and for the benefit of others, just having more people than necessary coming back to play some basketball games? Maybe, I mean, I don't think we're really talking about completing an 82 game schedule at this point. So would they be playing 5 games, 10 games, and then go home? I mean, there are going to be teams that don't want to do that. We've already seen Damian Lillard say that if the Portland Trailblazers don't have a chance to get to the playoffs, he's not going to come back and play, or he doesn't want to come back and play. And I think that's a fair question. I mean, not every team is truly involved in the championship chase at this point in the season. So there've been a lot of ideas floated about how to handle this, and you've seen 70 is kind of the magic number. A lot of for financial reasons and otherwise, there's sort of a push to get to 70 regular season games. Teams saying, look, we need at least some games before we start the playoffs. We can't just return from a 3-4 month absence and start playing playoff games. So there've been some formats floated, like Kevin O'Connor, The Ringer, suggesting a World Cup format with group stages. And there's obviously the idea of just skipping all of this, going straight to the playoffs. There's a play-in concept, because we got to get Zion Williamson into the playoffs, right? Have a few teams compete for an opportunity to get into perhaps the tournament. What scenarios have you seen that you can lend any sort of credible, like, what are some scenarios you've seen that you could say, okay, I could see that working, and some that you're just like, that's never going to happen? What are you seeing?
I think the only one that wouldn't happen would just be continuing the regular season in full. I think that's kind of done with. There's not enough time to do all that. And even if you're trying to get to 70 games, like, some teams are only like five or so games away, or it's kind of a different feel. Like, could you try to get to 70? I guess. I think it's more likely that the NBA could try and talk to its regional sports network partners and its national TV partners and try and come up with a way to maybe adjust their agreements so that they can get games on those networks and satisfy whatever situations or agreements that they have in their contracts. I'm not sure how all that fits. But the 70 is only for the RSN, like, you know, money. That's the biggest issue. And so maybe there could be some flexibility there and they can work together and figure out a way to move forward. But I think out of all the things that have kind of gone out there, I know that there's been a lot of reporting from, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe and Shams Charania and Sam Amick and Kevin O'Connor, like all these different guys, you know, nationally who are tracking this, along with our guys at USA Today, Mark Medina and Jeff Zilgit. Everybody's following this, trying to figure out what could possibly happen in terms of return to play. And all these different ideas that are coming out are things that, like, the NBA is considering. Like, that, you know, not that all of them are equally likely, and not that all of them would be preferable to every team. Like, you know, if you're the Trailblazers, for example, like you said, like Damian Lillard, if they have a path to being in the playoffs, like, that changes everything about your season. And, you know, you would obviously prefer that model as opposed to the, you know, let's just stop, take the standings where they were and just go straight to the playoffs, you know, with the 16 teams that were in the playoffs. That's it. Like, you know, while some teams might really like that, teams like the Blazers wouldn't like that. I think if you're the Bucks, you'd probably be like, all right, that's fine. Like, we can do that. And that might even be the best situation for the Bucks. Out of all of them, it's like, oh yeah, just play against the East and get the Magic in the first round and go from there. Like, sure. Like, I don't see why that would be a problem for the Bucks. But it's all going to come down to what Adam Silver and in the league, but mostly Adam Silver, what he decides is going to be the best case going forward for the most possible teams and for the league as a whole. Like, he has to figure this out. This is probably the toughest thing he's been tasked with so far as commissioner. I mean, he's dealt with tough situations, obviously, but this is, you know, one that, you know, is going to have ripple effects for a long time. And if it goes great, it could change the way the league does things in the future and could be a kind of a watershed moment. And if it goes poorly, it's going to all fall on him. I think there are a lot of options, a lot of good ones. And, you know, do we want to go down through them and kind of break them down? Is that the plan now?
Yeah, real quickly, because I don't think there's much confusion on this, but the RSNs are the regional sports networks, and there's a contract. I don't understand a lot about this, but basically the NBA needs to provide a product of 70 games, or they're going to owe a lot of money back to these sports networks for essentially breach of contract or part of the contract. So that's why 70 games is such a hot item for the NBA, because it saves them from massive expenditures and loss of, you know, loss of revenue, or whatever you want to look at it. Revenue is probably the wrong word, but just, you know, that's what's happening there. Let's take a look at it. I think it's fairly safe to say, just looking at it overarching wise, the Bucks are not benefited by any sort of gimmick format, because they are the best team in the East by far. And it seems like any format that would sort of undermine the value of being the number one team or having the regular season and kind of putting a lot of teams on equal footing, obviously that doesn't play in the Bucks' favor. The Bucks should have every advantage in the world. So I feel like pretty much no scenario benefits the Bucks here other than like a straight finishing of the season and playoffs, which, like you said, that's the least likely to happen. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think that's generally true. I think if we look at, like, okay, so if you take the playoffs, as I say, and like I mentioned, like, that's pretty good for the Bucks. Like, they wouldn't have home court advantage because there's no home court in any series. But, like, if you just play the playoffs normally, you're not facing any Western Conference teams until the finals. You have the Magic in the first round, a team that they already swept and could definitely, you know, do away with pretty quickly. They'd probably get a chance at some extra rest, you know, between that first round series and the second round series, whether you do a 5-game first round series or a 7-game series, like they're going to finish it quickly, or at least you would expect they would if they're able to kind of get things going, like they had them going, during the regular season. So, you know, you kind of have that built in there, and then you avoid the 76ers, and, you know, the 76ers and Celtics would play in the first round based off of current standings. So in the second round, the Bucks would get the Heat or the Pacers. That's, you know, that's pretty fair and pretty good competition. And, you know, that would be fine. I think that'd be pretty preferable for them. If you look at the possibility of, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk over past years of reseeding, or the playoffs, or going to a conference-less playoff bracket. You try and do that, the Bucks still get the Magic in the first round because the Magic are the worst team out of the top 16 in the league. But then in the second round, you get the Heat, which is the same, or the Thunder, which I think the Thunder are a little bit better than the Pacers, a little bit more challenging than the Pacers, and they could pull an upset on the Heat, and so that could, you know, make things a little bit difficult. But more importantly is that in a, you know, like 1-16 conference-less bracket, they could play the Clippers in the semifinals. Like, you don't want to play the Clippers in the semifinals. You don't want to play the Clippers until the finals, like, if you're going to play them at all. You'd rather have the Lakers and Clippers just, you know, absolutely go at it in the Western Conference semifinals. You don't want to have to play them on your way to possibly then play Lakers. It makes it seem like the Lakers have a much easier path, where they would only have, you know, maybe the Raptors in their way. And I don't really think that's much of a, you know, a challenge relative to the Clippers. So I think that's pretty difficult for the Bucks if you're looking at the whole picture, not just the first round matchup, but if you're going deeper. I think the World Cup style group stage could be pretty interesting. And I would wonder, you know, first of all, how many teams they let in. Would it be 20? Like, you know, some have suggested, I saw it, you know, on ESPN, obviously on The Ringer, there's a pretty big breakdown of that. It would it be 20, and would the, you know, the 20 be the 16 playoff teams plus the next four teams with the best records, which would all come from the West? Like, would that be the case? And in that situation, would the top four teams, the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers, would they be able to kind of like draft their own own group? And so, like, the Bucks would get the first pick. Would they pick, you know, obviously you don't want to pick the Blazers. They had a worse record than the Magic, but the Blazers are a better team. Like, you don't want to play the Pelicans. You'd rather play the Magic, right? Like, you don't want to play the Spurs. Like, you'd rather play the Magic. Or, you know, maybe the Kings would be fine. But, like, if you're the Bucks and you get matched up with a, you know, kind of bottom tier team, like, you'd want to pick who that is. And you don't want it to be the Blazers or the Pelicans or the Spurs. You'd rather it be the Kings if you can pick. So I think the decision as to whether or not they would pick or be randomized would be really interesting. Honestly, I think that this setup could work. Like, it could make sense. I don't know if it would necessarily benefit the Bucks the most. I think that might still be sticking with the regular format. But this would be a way to get, like, a guaranteed amount of games. And you could probably sell that to RSNs and say, hey, here's 20 markets or 20 teams who are in here. You can take these. You know, we'll play these not just on national television, but you can have them too, and this will satisfy some of the games you were supposed to have. And, you know, you're going to get, like, I don't know how many it is. What is it, two games for every team? That's a lot of math. What is that, like 80 games or something like that? It's a lot of games before you get to then a best of seven, you know, bracket of eight teams that are left, with the top two teams in each group of five would move on to, you know, the playoff bracket. So I think that could help with having more games, more entertainment, more matchups, more teams, more drama. Every game matters. You're not going to have sweeps. You know, you could have a team that, you know, wins its first six games and you know it's going to be one of the top two. So, you know, there's that. But there's also the problem of, hey, say you get put into a group where, you know, it's a little bit more difficult than you thought, and the teams are really good, and maybe you run into a slump or you know, a bad shooting streak or whatever, and suddenly a really good team like the Bucks could just be bounced, or maybe you just don't get it back into rhythm, you know. And of course, that could happen in a in a regular playoff setting too, but at least you'd be going against the same team, and you wouldn't be having to face different teams each and every game. So there's some issues with it, but I think it could work. I think it'd be interesting. I think there'd be more teams involved, which could be fun. I think being able to have, like, you know, 5 games a day every day for, you know, like weeks or a couple, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks where you're doing this group play could be, you know, pretty fun in terms of, you know, an entertainment value. Of course, then there are those other 10 teams that are left out. And I think a lot of them, like, they might want to play, you know, and does the NBA decide to have some type of, like, preseason before this, before a group stage or before a playoff bracket to, you know, give teams an opportunity just to kind of round into form. I know that in talking to some of the Bucks players earlier on in the pandemic, you know, they said, hey, like, it might take, you know, a couple weeks of training camp and maybe 2 or 3, you know, quote unquote preseason games to kind of get rolling again. So, like, maybe you want to have, you know, all the teams be in the bubble or in the campus setting at Disney World and be able to get those games that maybe they would count as regular season games or preseason games or whatever it is, give teams a little bit of a chance to, like, you know, move into the draw for the group stage and adjust their record slightly. There could be that. But then how do you convince those teams to actually come and care and compete? You know, because if you're, you know, if you've got a team near the bottom of the standings that has, you know, stars on it, why would they want to play? Like, you know, why is Steph Curry going to play in this? Why is Devin Booker going to play in this? You know, why is Karl Anthony Towns going to play in this? You know, there's just a bunch of guys out there who, you know, could be really good and could affect games. You know, why is Bradley Beal going to want to play in this if the Wizards can't move up? Like, they're too far away to get into either, you know, a group stage or a bracket. And also, if there was some kind of, you know, play-in tournament to determine, like, the 7 and 8 seeds or something like that, what do you do with the 1 through 6 seeds? You know, do they not play as many games? What if they want to play games? What if they want to be able to have the opportunity to round into form a little bit? You know, there's issues with that too. So I think it's hard to know exactly what the best path would be. But, you know, like I said, I think if I had to rank them, I'd say the best for the Bucks specifically would probably be going straight into the playoffs as they normally are, and following that path. Or that maybe the group stage could benefit them if, you know, that might be the second best option if they are able to determine their opponents or who is in their group and to kind of maybe set things up a little bit. I think that could be beneficial for them if they're going to do that. You know, and if not, I think it's maybe less beneficial. And probably third would be reseeding the conferences entirely, just, you know, with no conference affiliation, because, you know, because then you have the possibility of, because of the way standings are now, of getting the Clippers in the semifinals and potentially the Lakers in the finals. And that's just the kind of gauntlet that you'd rather not have if you can, you know, if you can avoid it.
Now, why would, I understand the group stage, because, and that's still, I think, a little burying the lead. Getting that number of games is going to be one of the driving decision makers here. So that's why I think the group stage is compelling, not for my personal taste, but for the NBA's taste, because it could generate more games to satisfy the RSN situation. So I do think that's a legitimate course of action they could take. Why would we reseed both conferences? What is the impetus to do that, to not have an East and a West all of a sudden? Like, what would be the reasoning behind that?
Well, there's been a lot of talk in recent years of, like, okay, why are we doing this? Like, why are we putting in a bad team from the East usually as, like, the 7 and 8 seeds when there are more deserving, better teams in the West that we can kind of just say, hey, forget conference affiliation, let's do that. And one of the biggest arguments is travel, is that you don't want to have, you know, teams flying East to West during the first round. Like, that's not really helping you. Like, if, say, you know, say, for example, that, you know, the Magic weren't the 16 seed and that it was, who's 15 right now? Let's see. 15 would be the Nets, and then 14 would be the Grizzlies. So just, you know, that's not far away. Let's see. Where's one that would be an issue? Okay, so right now, if you did a conference-less playoff bracket based on the current standings, you'd have Nuggets and Pacers in the first round. And you'd also have Lakers and Nets. Like, if you're the Lakers, like, in a normal year, you don't want to be flying cross-country to play the Nets in the first round. Like, you don't want to have to be dealing with that extra travel. Like, you know, in the past, it was kind of like travel was prohibitive and it was expensive, whatever. But now it's like, okay, teams fly on private planes, they can do it. But why would you want to do that, you know, when there are other teams who are not traveling that far? When the Celtics and Sixers are playing each other and they could, like, literally bust if they wanted to.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense to me. I think if that's going to happen, it should happen in a year when they've adjusted the regular season schedule to account for that. You know, dissolve the conferences by all means. I'm for that, but not right now. Not all of a sudden after they've played a certain way, after the Bucks have played an Eastern Conference schedule for the most part.
Exactly. And like that's one of the issues with it is that it's unfair, right? Like you have, you know, a much different schedule in the East than you do in the West. And so it's not even. And if you're going to do a conference-less playoff bracket, you need to have a conference-less season. You need everybody to play each other an equal amount of times and to really be fair about it. But if Adam Silver and the league wanted to, you know, mix things up and say, hey, like, let's just do 1-16 instead of splitting it into conferences, you know, now there's no issue with travel. We could just take the records and, you know, obviously everything has to be different because of the pandemic and, you know, it's not fair, but nothing's fair. So let's just try it. Like if they were going to try and do that, I think it would meet with a lot of resistance. And I don't think that is as compelling as a group stage format or a soccer style format. But it's not off the table. But like I said, I don't like that idea, especially for the Bucks, just because like you're going to have a much harder path to the championship and it's not necessarily fair the way things are set up. And you know, that's just kind of, something that I think that a lot of teams would like roundly reject, as opposed to maybe some other options that are out there. I think a group stage could still be more fair, depending on how they do it and how they set it up. Especially to allow teams like the Bucks and the Lakers, two teams that were going to have home court advantage, like throughout, you know, their conference playoffs, like for the first three rounds, you have home court advantage. Like you want to be able to still have some benefit, some advantage in the playoffs, no matter how the NBA sets it up now, because like, you know, the regular season is worth something, right? You've earned something. And since you can't have home court, you should really have something else. And can you imagine the drama and the pettiness if the Bucks were drafting who was going to be in their group? It'd be fantastic. And so it's like, oh, hey, like, you know, we wanted you. We picked you to be the team that we played against. Like that'd be pretty fun. And like you would think that the fourth group, like, you know, based off the standings, that would be the Clippers group. They should have the hardest group, right? And that the Raptors should have like the second hardest group, then it would go the Lakers group, and then the Bucks should have, you would think, like the easiest group. Like if you're going to be drafting them or planning them out, like I think that's relatively fair, based off of the standings. But if it doesn't work out that way, and like say the Lakers have the hardest group or the Bucks have the hardest group, then what's the point of all the stuff they did in the regular season, right?
Right. Well, first of all, you're speaking my language anytime you're talking about pettiness. I want all of that. I want to be there for that moment when Giannis Antetokounmpo smiles into the camera and says, with our first pick, we'd like the Houston Rockets in our region. That would be so baller. But it's sort of the built-in bulletin board material, right? Like, I won't forget in 2011 when Prince Fielder got to pick who was in the home run derby, and he didn't pick Justin Upton, who was going to be playing before the home fans in Arizona at that All-Star game. And Arizona fans booed him the rest of the season in the playoffs when the two teams met because he didn't pick their guy. And that's just... I thought it was kind of, I mean, whatever, it was an exhibition, but super unfair that Prince Fielder was put in that position. He took Ricky Weeks. He took his guy. Totally understandable. So if it's fun and exhibition, that's fine. In this case, I don't know if I'd be fully comfortable with the Bucks basically picking their, you know, picking the teams they're going to try to beat and then have those teams be like, oh, you want us? We're the low guys on the totem pole. Well, we'll show you, you know?
Well, if the Bucks got to pick, let's go through this kind of, as an idea, okay, so tier two, you probably need one team from each tier, right? The tiers are based off of records, right? And we'll go with the thought process that they're going to invite 20 teams, and four of them, the four that come in, will all be from the Western Conference because they all have better records than all the non-playoff teams in the East. So if we can go with that premise, tier two would be the Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, and Heat. So of those four teams, which one do you think would be the best for the Bucks?
Yeah, it's certainly not the Jazz, who've played them twice, difficult this year. It's probably not the Celtics, although I pause on that. I would guess the Heat. But obviously they've beaten the Bucks, you know, pretty well this year. So I don't know.
I think if I had to pick, it'd probably be the Jazz, only because Bojan Bogdanovic is out for the season. He just had surgery. And so that takes away one person from them, and I think they'd be able to handle them maybe a little bit better than the other teams. I mean, the Heat have given them trouble. The Celtics have given them trouble. Let them go somewhere else. I think that would probably be my thought process. All right, tier three. That would be the Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, and Sixers.
I would take the Houston Rockets. I really would.
I mean, for the... You know, for the bulletin board material, for the fun of it. I mean, maybe there's that, but do you really want to see James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and their kind of like five out crazy small ball stuff? Like, I don't know. Like,
yes.
I think you'd rather just take the Pacers, a team that you know you can beat. You know you've beaten before. You can handle the Pacers a little bit better. You know exactly what they're about. I think you go there. Okay, tier four. Mavericks, Grizzlies, Nets, and Magic. I think Magic is pretty clear.
Probably. I mean, we talked about Kevin Garnett. Oh, man. Kevin Durant was not going to be coming back. But what about now? Now that there's been this massive pause, is it possible the Nets get Kevin Durant services when the season returns?
Oh, and Kyrie.
Yeah, like, and Kyrie, no doubt. So, oh my goodness. So I stay away from the Nets. I think you make the practical play on that one.
Well, and then the last year would be Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Spurs. And so I think the Kings would be the pick there.
Totally. Yeah,
in terms of teams, so if the Bucks were in a group of Bucks, Jazz, Pacers, Magic, Kings, I think most Bucks fans pick, all right, not all those games are like really like all that exciting to watch or like marquee games. You don't have like huge rivalries or whatever, but I think they'd advance. I think they'd be in a pretty good situation to play, you know, each of those teams two times, playing eight games, and, you know, you'd be able to win, you know, six or seven of them, you know, maybe if not all eight. I think that's totally on the table. But if the Bucks got a group that was, you know, Bucks, Celtics, you know, Thunder, Bucks, Celtics, Thunder, you know, Mavericks and Blazers,
no thanks.
You'd feel a lot differently about it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough draw.
So it's all about how the league decides to do it. If they do a draft, do they do a snake draft where the Bucks got the first pick in the first round? That in tier three they get the, yeah, that doesn't seem very fair.
No, especially for the teams getting picked, you're gonna have teams. Yeah, that's not fair at all.
So it's do they do it randomly? Like, do they just say, you know what, like, we're gonna put the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers at the top of each one? They're all separate, and after that, like, you'll get a random tier two team, random tier three team. That doesn't seem very fair either. Like, you don't want the Bucks to be in the group of death.
Opens like, up the door for conspiracy theories and all of that. Oh, the league is rigging it, that sort of thing too.
Right. And so there's just so many possibilities out there that if they were to do this, which, again, I think this could be an entertaining and fun way of doing things. Like, maybe not forever. Maybe forever. Maybe it always works. Maybe it'll just be fantastic every time. Maybe it'll be, they can do a shortened regular season and then group stage and then whatever. And maybe that's a more fair way to come up with a champion. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer or not, but for the pandemic games, as we might end up calling them, like, I think they're going to try something different. They're going to try to be innovative and do something that will provide a high entertainment value for fans over, you know, a contained but still long period of time. This is the time to take chances. And I think the NBA is aware of that. It's just a question of how interested the teams are in taking those chances and what kind of structure that will end up taking.
Let's think about this now from a more emotional point of view, because I think we're also focused on the idea of sports returning. We haven't really thought what comes next after that. Let's say there is a system developed that's, you know, nobody's going to complain too much about because they just want to see basketball. Let's say the Bucks then they wind up in the top tier of the postseason, you know, Eastern Conference Finals or Conference Finals, whatever we're going to be calling that, or the Finals, the NBA Finals, or they win. Let's say they win the championship. What's that going to feel like? Because these games, I think, are not going to be held in Milwaukee. Certainly, if they are, there won't be fans there anyway. It's going to be, there's going to be an asterisk naturally, no matter what happens, because it will be safe to argue, well, some teams didn't bounce back right. Guys' skills atrophied over the 2 months. That could happen to the Bucks. It could happen to the Lakers. Could happen to any team. Whether they win or lose, it's going to be defeating if this all comes together and the Bucks don't win anyway. And if they do win, it's going to be such an unusual, one-of-a-kind experience. It's really hard to even wrap your mind around emotionally what that's going to be like. Milwaukee will be happy, of course, but it's going to be so different. I find myself wondering, you know, if it's going to feel that great at all, because it's going to be such a strange set of circumstances. I don't know. Have you given that any thought?
Yeah, I think it'll be an adjustment, but I think people will get there, right? It won't be the same. You won't have like huge crowds of people like gathered to watch games, you know, like outside Pfizer Forum or like outside Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. You're not going to have Jurassic Park or the Deer District. You're not going to have like that same kind of thing. But I think that like in the digital world in which we live, like there will still be ways to celebrate and like come together and enjoy the experience. I think it'll be different. But the feeling will still be there, right? Like the vast majority of fans who take in games aren't at the arena. Like, so like, yes, there might not be that same in-arena feel. There might not be those social gatherings. There might not be a parade for, you know, until some other, you know, later time. Like, but I think that there will still be that excitement. Like, you know, I know that, like, you think about, you know, like the Washington Nationals won the World Series last year. Like, they're not getting their rings in, like, a big ceremony. They haven't gotten them yet. They're supposed to happen already. Like, they haven't been able to, like, celebrate that. But I feel like if you ask the Nationals fan, they're like, yeah, that was super fun. like I enjoyed that. And, like, maybe, yes, they could actually go to games or celebrate a different way. But, like, you know, they're kind of on pause. Or if you think about, like, NBA seasons that were shortened, you know, they had, you know, a couple lockouts, including, you know, ones that affected the 1998-1999 season down to 50 games and the 2011-2012 season down to 66 games. Is there an asterisk by that Miami Heat championship in 2012 because they only played 66 games? Like, no. Like, they won. And like it, you know, and there was a shortened season where the Spurs beat the Knicks, like that weird 8-seed Knicks in a 50-game season. Like, the Spurs still won the title. Like, you know, or the seasons where, you know, do the Toronto Raptors have an asterisk because a bunch of guys in the Warriors got hurt last year? Like, no. Like, it's different, and it wasn't what maybe it could have been or should have been in terms of the full season or just a certain playoff series or whatever. But I think people will still, I think, enjoy it if it is able to go off in a way that fans can, you know, see the games, like feel emotionally attached to the teams and the players, and feel like everyone, or at least their team, got a fair shot. And if that's the case, and the NBA can do that, I think this could be a pretty successful, or even really successful, venture for this summer. But if fans kind of see this as like, oh, like this isn't what it was supposed to be, the level of play wasn't as good, like the intensity wasn't as good, teams weren't given a fair chance, like there were, you know, things were stacked against us from the start, like then there'll be maybe a different lingering emotion, and it could be, you know, negative for the league. But I think I have some level of confidence in the league. They'll be able to find a way to, if they're going to start the season again, which I think they will, they'll be able to do it in a way that, you know, they're going to be able to put a good product on the floor and have a at least well-reasoned approach to how they're going to do it. And I think, and if they can do all that stuff, I think fans will watch and enjoy and, you know, be able to kind of share their experience with, you know, people in their house and people that they're interacting with online. There'll still be maybe a buzz around certain cities. It'll just look and feel a little bit different this time.
Last thought here, gut reaction. I kind of want to get what you think is going to happen. I'm guessing Disney World looks like the surefire leader in the clubhouse at this point. But what format you think that the NBA really will adopt? And then sort of the second part of that is, we haven't talked about what media coverage would look like, and I don't even know if people care about that. But I'm curious what you think this is going to mean for you and for newspapers and TV stations and who's even going to be allowed in the room here to cover these games outside of like the actual cameras that are giving you the game broadcast. So what is your gut reaction and how do you think you're going to end up covering this Bucks team if you had to guess?
Oh man, I wish I knew, really. I wish I knew some of the answers to that. I don't know what format they would take. I'm not sure which one is the most advantageous or lucrative or effective for the league. I just don't, you know, my gut reaction is I don't think all the teams will be there as much as some teams will want to be there. I don't think they'll have them all. I think they'll have to jump into the playoffs in some form or fashion. And I think things will look different. I don't think there's going to go normal 1 through 16 or 1 through 8 in each conference. Like, let her rip. Like, they're not going to do that. They're going to do something different. Like, that's kind of like what the NBA's MO is. Like, if they're going to do something that has to be, you know, different because of the pandemic, they're going to make sure they're going to take a chance. I think they will. Whether it's a play-in tournament or reseeding the whole league or a group stage or whatever, like, it's going to be different. So I'm interested to see what that difference is. In terms of the media, I don't know. I think that there's a possibility that they could invite a limited number of media, maybe per market, and you just have to abide by all the rules of the bubble, you know, and like of the campus environment, whatever they want to call it. And then you can do interviews, maybe no locker room access, but there could be a post-game podium. I mean, they're going to still want to have post-game, right? Like, they're still going to want to have, like, you know, the players and the coaches talking and visible to fans. Like, someone needs to be asking those questions. And it can't just be, you know, people who work for league partners. I don't think that necessarily would come off right if it's only ESPN or Turner people or people from the regional sports networks or who work for the team asking those questions. I think that there is a value to having, you know, independent media there, you know, media from respective markets there, people who have followed the team all year or even for many years. I think there's a benefit to that. It's just a question of how do you accommodate that situation? How do you do interviews? I think it's just, okay, so you have to do some social distancing in the media spaces, and you'll have to do some social distancing. You know, obviously no close talking, like player interviews. But if you can get guys on a podium and be able to have conversations, I think that could be good. And, you know, if they want me to go, like, you know, I feel like that's a hard thing to say no to. I think if the NBA says, okay, we can allow X number of people per team, you know, from their market to come, and we'll block off spots at, you know, they'll probably give us, they probably have the media hotel be like the worst Disney hotel, right? like whatever low level, you know, what is that, Camp All-Star or is that like the Caribbean Beach or whatever those, like, I have to talk to my in-laws. They're actually Disney season pass, like annual pass holders, even from, you know, living out here. So, you know, I'll have to ask them what the accommodations would be. We wouldn't be like in the Polynesian. I'll tell you that.
You guys are going to be in Kissimmee in some condo building or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're going to be like living. Actually, that would probably be fun. Like living in like the shed of like Brooke Lopez's house.
Right, that would be dope. Let's do that.
That'd be pretty great. Though, also, one other thing that I just thought of mentioning the Polynesian. I know that Robin Lopez had tweeted like when this first kind of started to bubble up as a possibility. You know, like dibs on the Polynesian, and it's like, well, if they gave like the teams a chance to like if they went down from the top and let teams pick what hotel they're going to be in, it's like, all right, well, if you're one of the best teams, you can, you know, you can have first pick. And they had like the bottom teams in like slightly lesser accommodations. Like, that'd be kind of funny. But there's probably big enough properties that they could fit, you know, all the teams and a handful of properties, not have to slum it. So no one would feel that bad, but that they'll leave that spot for the media if they invite anybody, I assume. But, you know, if I had to do all that, like, I think that'd be, it's hard to say no, right? Like, to be able to be one of the few people actually like at the games. I mean, that'd be weird and interesting and kind of fun at all at the same time.
It's interesting indeed. And we, of course, await word over the next few weeks. What's going to happen in the NBA? Hopefully there are some revelations June 1st. Adam Silver, I believe, is going to be handing down some recommendations at that point. We will see how that impacts the Milwaukee Bucks. Matt Velasquez, thanks for joining us, man. Hopefully we've got some news soon, and we can do this podcast again.
Yeah, no, the sooner we can get news and the sooner I can like plan my actual life, that'd be nice. It'd be good to know whether I'm going there or going to have to cover it all off a TV. Whether I need to live in like Florida for like 2 months, you know, that's kind of important stuff to know for having a family and living your life. Friday's Board of Governors meeting, I don't know if anything will come out of it that will clear things up, or if we'll have to wait till June 1st or later, but you know, hey, NBA, the sooner we can know and I can plan my life, I'm sure that my life and my, what I'm doing are very important to you. So let's figure this out.
I would like to plan my life too, but there's this whole pandemic thing, so I'm not sure that's happening anytime soon. But thanks for joining us, Matt. We will chat with you again, like I said, very soon, we hope, and we'll be, you know, watching KBO baseball in the meantime in Bundesliga.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Find the Bucks Podcast, Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks Podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at JR Radcliffe. That's JRRADCLIFFE. Matt_Velasquez is where you find Matt Velasquez. And we will talk to you again soon. Thanks.